and welcome to the podcast where you will heal the relationship with yourself, unlearn the limiting beliefs that tell you it's better to blend in than stand out, and realize that you are more than enough. You are incredible. I am your host, Susan Padron, an intuitive personal stylist and award-winning author featured in InStyle and many publications accessible all over the world. I am a tattooed queer mom who is showing up to give you the gentle nudge or emotional hug, whichever you need, so that you can give yourself the permission to be you. This is the Susan Padron Podcast. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Susan Padron Podcast. So I am an intuitive personal stylist, and people are always curious to know what that means and how I use my intuition while working with my clients. So before we get all into that, you know, you might be asking, like, what is your intuition? So intuition is your inner knowing. The phrases like trust your gut and trust your intuition are basically just the same thing. Both are skills that everyone has, but you have to know how to listen. The more that you practice tapping into your intuition, the easier it becomes to trust it. Your intuition can communicate with you in several different ways that are similar to our senses. The most common ways are through being able to feel your intuition in your body. You might hear a message, like you hear your thoughts, or you can see an image in your dreams or your mind's eye. Sometimes your sense of smell or taste can guide you, and other times you'll just know things without having a logical reason to explain why. People who are psychics, mediums, intuitives, readers, etc., all experience receiving messages differently. It's not just through a crystal ball or tarot decks, although both crystals and cards can be used as tools to help channel messages. They're just not necessary for everyone. You can connect with your intuition all on your own. For me, my strongest form of connecting with my intuition is just knowing. It's like information just gets airdropped into my brain. There's no logical explanation why I know it. I just do. Having this ability, I remember, started at a really early age. You know, I would ask a question and the answer would just appear in my mind before the other person even had the opportunity to answer. Or I would meet someone and immediately know that despite what everyone else said or thought about them, they were not a good person. Or that they were a great person. You know, it works both ways. But I have to say, it's definitely challenging when you're 13 years old and no one believes you that your aunt's charming, charismatic fiance is actually a horrible person. I mean, have you met a 13-year-old? Like, it can be one of those moments where it's like, is Susan intuitive or is she just being a judgy little bitch? Unfortunately, it was my intuition. In those situations, you don't want to say, I told you so, because you love and you care about them. And it's one of those moments where it's just not fun to be right anyway. One of my earliest memories of my intuition communicating with me was before a death in my family. I was in fifth grade at the time, and I remember having this feeling in my body where I just knew that something sad was going to happen. I remember not being able to communicate how I was feeling, but I tried to explain it to my parents. And now that I'm a parent, I understand why in that moment my parents tried to comfort me and they reassured me that everything was fine. Because taking the, what is it, Lassie, is Timmy trapped in the well again approach doesn't really help your elementary aged child fall asleep at night. But I had the feeling, and the next day we found out that my dad's cousin had passed away. 2 weeks later, my feeling came back and I panicked. I told my mom and she was patient. She was kind and reassuring with me again, rightfully so. But the next day, we found out that my grandmother had passed. And it happened again before my hamster died, which obviously was not nearly as sad as losing family members. But I remember that feeling like that was the final straw. Like, I didn't want to know anymore. I was afraid. I didn't understand why I needed to know things before they happened. And I just wanted to shut it down. So I did what I could to disconnect from those feelings. Despite the fact that I was able to shut down my death notifications, I still remained out of control when it came to knowing other things about people and being able to feel into their energy. And when we think about energy, usually it's in the non-spiritual sense, and we think about our physical energy or the quantity of our energy. There's also emotional energy, which is the quality of our energy. Mental energy is, you know, the focus of our energy. And then our spiritual energy is the force of our energy. So our spiritual energy is an interpersonal, non-physical force. Everyone has an energetic body that is formed around our physical body. Your energy interacts with other people's energy. And if you're aware of that, if you're not aware of that, it can begin to have a negative impact on you, especially depending on the people you engage with. If you've ever felt an emotion that wasn't your own, it's likely because your energy picked up on someone else's and it stuck with you. If you don't have a practice for cleansing your own energy, this gathered energy can really begin to weigh on you. I have a whole arsenal of energetic cleansing practices that I do for myself because I spent years being completely unaware of all of this energy that I was collecting. Being a teacher for so long and being around these children that led such complicated lives and such roller coaster emotions, and I would come home and I would just feel angry or upset and I wouldn't be able to explain why. And now that I have a much clearer understanding of how energy attaches and how we need to release it and the importance of releasing it, I know that I just picked up on the energy of my students. So now I have all of these tools that I use depending on situation and depending on how I'm feeling. So things like hand washing. So obviously I wash my hands, you know, got to keep the germs away. But when I use it in a more spiritual and an energetic practice, I set the intention of releasing what no longer belongs to me or releasing what is not meant for me. So I wash my hands after I have a client session and I set that intention of releasing what does not belong to me. As the water is rinsing over my hands and I'm envisioning that energy going down the drain. Something really similar can be done in the shower. You know, you can set that same intention of I release what is not meant for me. I release what does not belong to me. And envisioning the water cleansing your energetic body and all of that extra energy just being washed down the drain. I also like to use smoke cleansing. And quick disclaimer, if we are not part of an indigenous culture that actually uses sacred smudging techniques, we don't say smudging anymore because it's cultural appropriation. So we say smoke cleansing. So if you're guilty of using smudging and it's not part of your heritage, let's just make that little switch now to smoke cleansing. And we'll move forward. So smoke cleansing can be done with a variety of different dried herbs. Just be mindful of what herbs are being overly harvested so that we're not part of the problem. So some alternatives to things like sage and Palo Santo are you can use cedar and rosemary, lavender, cannabis. There's a lot of different other options of things that you can burn to do smoke cleansing that are still helping with the environment, are not taking away from the things that are being grown and being collected and harvested at, unfortunately, alarming rates. So just using some of those other alternatives is definitely the way to go. Things like rose petals, dried rose petals are also another good alternative too. So you can also do things like breathing techniques with intentions. You know, I can let this go. You know, breathing in, really envisioning kind of cleansing your entire body, taking that breath in all the way down from your toes, all the way up to the top of your head and releasing it out, kind of cleansing your inner body as well as your energetic body. Crystals for cleansing, such as selenite, crystals for protection against negativity, like tourmalated quartz. So there are different crystals that you can either carry with you, you can wear in forms of jewelry, or you can just have in your house. You know, I don't carry selenite with me because it's a very delicate, a very fragile crystal, but I do have different selenite wands, bars in my house where I can just grab one and I can kind of move it in front of my whole body to just kind of cleanse my energetic space when I need to. When I feel like I can't cleanse my energy on my own, I'll receive a Reiki or attend a Reiki treatment or attend a sound bath. Working with energy healers was so huge when I started diving deeper into my spiritual journey. I attended so many classes and workshops. I started really to develop my own meditation practice, and I began to strengthen my connection with my intuition by receiving messages on my own terms. You know, creating space and setting aside time to connect with your intuition allows for the messages to flow in a much more controlled space rather than being bombarded because the universe is tired of you not paying attention. So how did I go from shut it down as a teenager to fully embracing my spirituality in everything I do, including my business? When I was in the early stages of growing my business, after I went full-time as a personal stylist, I was attending a lot of events, hosting different events in Philly, and meeting a lot of new people. And one of those people that I met was my very first spiritual business coach. And while I was attending a retreat that she hosted, you know, she asked me why I didn't identify as an intuitive personal stylist. And at the time, I felt like I wasn't spiritual enough. And she patiently reminded me that, you know, you're already using your intuition every time you work with a client. And she repeated back to me my process. So when I begin to work with a client, I tap into their energy. This allows for the information that I am meant to receive to flow, or it allows me to ask guided questions so that my clients can open up and share. It's a safe space where there really isn't any judgment, and it's an opportunity for my client to tell me about different aspects of themselves so that we can start the healing process. And sometimes this just happens during our first call when we're getting to know each other, and it's as simple as me just saying, "Tell me about yourself." Sometimes it happens when we're having our first session together, which is the closet edit, and I feel an energetic shift when we get to certain pieces. So I'll say, "Tell me about this piece," because energetically, I can feel it's different. Sometimes it's because it's a piece that they love to wear and it brings them so much joy. And other times it belonged to a loved one who passed, so it holds a lot of sentimental attachment. And then, of course, unfortunately, there are the pieces where it's because their ex-husband hated that dress and always said I looked terrible in it. So that holds a different kind of energy than pieces that you're just kind of indifferent about, or the pieces that you like, or the pieces that you hate. Like, all of that is different. I even had a situation with a client when her grandmother came through with a message during our session. And not all of my clients are comfortable receiving specific messages from their deceased loved ones. So this is where it's really important that you need to have an ethical practice with your spiritual gifts. Now, I knew this client very well, and I knew that she would be comfortable hearing what her deceased grandmother wanted me to tell her. This client had a pair of earrings that she wore every day. She slept in them, showered in them, you know, lived in these earrings. I mean, from the time that I met her up until this point, I never saw her wearing anything else in her ears. So I was in this session with my client. And first, you know, I just felt her grandmother's presence, which is not unusual. And then I could hear her grandmother essentially demanding that I convince my client, her granddaughter, to get rid of these earrings. She said that they were holding her back and she deserved better, but she had to get rid of them and pick something out for herself immediately. She was very insistent. And apparently, an ex-boyfriend gave my client these earrings, and he was awful to her. And she continued to wear the earrings just out of habit.
without really acknowledging the negative energy she was carrying with her. She had also been looking at new earrings, but she didn't feel deserving of them. We worked through all of these emotions together, and she purchased the new replacement earrings. And I have to say, specific loved ones don't always come through for me, for my clients, but I think it helped that my client had such a close relationship with her grandmother in her life and her afterlife. And after her grandmother's passing, my client continued to seek her spiritual guidance, which I am certain is one of the reasons why her grandmother felt so comfortable coming to me during our session. There are a lot of times when I'm shopping for a client and I'm being pulled toward a piece for them. From a logical perspective, this piece does not make sense for me to pick out for my client. It wasn't on the shopping list we created together. It's not something that reminds me of anything they would normally wear, but I am being called to select this piece for them. They have to have it, or at least try it on and know it exists. If you're thinking, ooh, that sounds like an intuition moment, you're absolutely right. What happens next is we have our session where my client tries everything on and we get to the intuitive piece. And sometimes they see it and they're like, oh, I would never buy that for myself. That's going to look awful. And other times they see it and they think, ooh, I would have never bought that for myself. But I've always wanted to try something like that. I just never thought I could wear that. And then they try it on. They see themselves differently for the first time, and it's magical. It's like they finally see what they're capable of, and they don't want to go back to anything less. And that's exactly why my intuition pulled me towards it, to help them heal and grow. All objects hold energy, but clothes are some of the things that we often forget about. When you keep a closet filled with clothes that no longer fit or hold bad memories, you are constantly exposing yourself to that negative energy. You go to your closet every day to get dressed, so every single day, that's an energetic exposure. Do you really want it to be a bad one? Do yourself a favor and do a closet edit. Get rid of the bad energy. Do a smoke cleanse in your closet when you're done so you can thoroughly clean it out. Only allow the clothes back in that you actually enjoy wearing, and the energy will start to shift. In addition to being your personal stylist and your style resource, allow me to be your spiritual resource too. I am more than happy to help you find a spiritual coach, energetic healers, Reiki masters, psychic medium, animal psychic mediums, herbalists, crystals, tarot, or oracle cards, tarot readers, aura photography, aura painting, spiritual podcasts, spiritual retreats, books, past life regression, Akashic records, pendulums, astrologers, astrocartography. And I'm sure that there are even more aspects of spirituality that I'm forgetting at the moment. The point I'm trying to make is that it helps when you have even one person to talk to when you're exploring your intuition and your spirituality. And I'm happy to help. See you next time. Thanks for taking the time to listen. The best way to support this podcast is to subscribe and leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts.